You are now listening to the NTTB podcast in association with Crossover Radio. And welcome to episode 4 of the NTTB podcast. As always, I'm your host, Alex, joined by my co-host,
Anthony. How you doing? Episode 4?
Episode 4. Now, you know what this one is, right?
This is A New Hope.
A New Hope, thank goodness. Okay, so this was the first Star Wars movie, I think, right?
1978.
Okay, good deal. So at least you got that down, because I depend on you on having the pop culture facts of Star Wars and comic book movies and things like that.
I've stepped my game up.
Okay, good deal, good deal. All right, so kind of heading into this week, I thought it would be a slow Thunder week. You know, we have a whole bunch of, you know, we have pretty much everybody signed that needs to be signed. I know Russell Westbrook has not signed, but he's under contract. So we don't really have to worry about him. So unless you're entirely worried about Samaj Kristen and his deal, or Terrence Ferguson not getting any clearance, this was supposed to be a very straightforward week. But then, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, Bill Simmons decides to release a tweet that basically says that the Thunder and Carmelo Anthony are circling each other. What does that mean, circling? Like, you know, whenever I wrote about it on the website, circling each other, like whenever I got into a fight in fifth grade or sixth grade, one of those, and we kind of bucked up to each other, you know, we kind of like connect at the shoulders and kind of like do a little circle thing where you're looking at, you know. Ain't nobody trying to throw a punch, because you know you get suspended, but you know you're going to talk trash and look at them all mean and see if they make the first move, you know. So I'm thinking about that, circling each other. But, you know, apparently he put the dots together that Troy Weaver, who is the Thunder's assistant manager, somehow, because of their connection to Syracuse, because I believe he used to be the assistant coach.
Yes, he helped.
That recruited or helped to recruit Carmelo.
He was influential in helping recruit Carmelo to Syracuse.
Yeah, so I guess he put the dots together, Bill Simmons did, of the Ringer, and decided to put that tweet out. Now, of course, that got Thunder Nation into a tizzy. You know, it's very Carmelo Anthony is a very polarizing player.
Yeah,
so some people are like, yes, you know, that would be great. That, you know, that'd give us a big three. And other people are like, I don't think that would be a good move. Well, what do you think?
Carmelo Anthony's game is one that would have succeeded in the 90s. I mean, mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. And now it's just, yeah, it's hard to say, because you bring in Carmelo Anthony, you're going to have to give up some assets. But then you have, as this team is constructed right now, you've added pace and space.
Okay.
You've added three-point shooters. You've added floor spacers. Uh-huh. You bring in Carmelo Anthony, he doesn't do that for you.
Yeah, he's more of a mid-range expert.
But at the same point in time, the guy is a prolific scorer. So it's kind of one of those things on what's Carmelo Anthony's mindset when he gets here.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm starting to look at teams, and as far as contenders, I'm starting to look at their, I guess, hierarchy of players. And so you have, you know, one, a two, a three. And I'm not talking about positions. I'm talking about,
like, tiers.
Any team that is contending, you, of course, have your tier one player. And it's just usually going to be just one player. So for the Oklahoma City Thunder, of course, it's Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
So you look at them, our tier one, our number one player is going to be Russell Westbrook. You look at Golden State. Unfortunately, they have two number ones,
Durant and Seth Curry.
Yes, Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. You look at other contenders, for instance, San Antonio. Their clear number one is Kawhi.
Right.
Who else? Houston. Their clear number one would be James Harden.
Right. And they just added Chris Paul.
But I think as far as the person who is the clear number one, I think 5 years ago, you would have probably had a 1A, 1B.
Okay.
But I think now, with the injuries and with the age and the mileage that Chris Paul has kind of put on, I think it's clearly James Harden.
Okay.
And then, of course, Cleveland now.
LeBron.
Is LeBron.
Right.
Okay.
Well, okay, for Boston, what would you say Boston's number one, tier one player is?
I think it's Isaiah Thomas.
What about Gordon Hayward?
See, that's where you kind of get into. So the number twos. So every great team has a great number one, and they usually have a great number two.
Right.
So the Thunder now have added a good, you know, good to great number two in Paul George.
Paul George, yeah.
You know, of course, again, Golden State, your number two could be as high as Kevin Durant or as low as Draymond Green, Klay Thompson type thing.
Okay.
You know, they have four players that can potentially be ones and twos.
Right.
San Antonio, that's where it kind of gets a little bit iffy with them, because once Kawhi went out, they had nobody. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge is kind of a shell of himself.
He's not the same player that they signed.
Well, he's not meant to succeed in this NBA.
Yeah.
So they had this idea of maybe him being a mid-range type player, and that hasn't really worked out because the game has changed so quickly in the span of 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking about your next tier of player, your number three, this is when the great teams have real good players at their number three, and where the semi-contenders, also-rans, you know, fake contenders kind of don't have a good player at their number three. Okay. So if you can get a Carmelo Anthony without having to give up too much, you know, basically the talk around there was basically if you could get Carmelo for Enes Kanter, let's say Kyle Singler, and any combination of a young player. So that young player could be Doug McDermott. That young player could be Jeremy Grant. It could be Terrence Ferguson.
Right.
You do that trade, right? You kind of have to.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to pull the trigger on that trade, especially considering how stacked the West is,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're kind of pushing your chips all in to try to get, you know, past that hump.
Yeah.
I think you have to do the trade.
Yeah, so... So the rumors came out, then of course, you know, so as soon as the rumors come out, everybody starts to go to the trade machine, and everybody starts to look and see, you know, how that can change the Thunder and things of that nature. But it might have been just smoke and mirrors from somebody. I don't know who. I don't know if it was somebody within Carmelo's camp. I don't know if it was somebody. I don't know if it was just Bill Simmons just connecting dots. But anytime they ask Carmelo's people, hey, what is Carmelo going to do? They always answer Houston.
Right. They're saying he's focusing on Houston, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's focusing on Houston. And the thing is, the Knicks, he has a no-trade clause,
mm-hmm.
and the Knicks don't have to trade him. You know, the Knicks, if they don't like the deal that they're getting, you know, and it may just be a situation where it's a mid-season type deal. But from everything that I'm getting, you know, you look at Houston, about the only thing that they want to give up that they can give up is Ryan Anderson.
And it's been known that the Knicks don't really want to take on Ryan. Even though his contract is doable, it's not anything that's going to hurt you in the short term. The Knicks aren't interested in a Ryan Anderson.
The problem with Ryan Anderson is he has 3 years left. You could do Ryan Anderson for a year. That'd be, what, 17, 18 million?
17, yeah.
Yeah. You can do Ryan Anderson for a year. You don't want to do him for 3 years because – Ryan Anderson's not going to age well. He's already had kind of injury issues. You know, last year was an anomaly for that entire Houston team.
Right.
Because Ryan Anderson, he's known to have injuries. Eric Gordon, known to have injuries. And so those two guys were completely healthy last year.
Right.
Nene has had injury issues.
Yes.
And so they kind of had a kind of a Cinderella-type season. This is like the apex for that team is what we saw, and that's the reason why they made the deal that they made to get bring in Chris Paul. Because that's their apex. Their apex was second round, possibly conference finals, and that's it.
Right.
But the thing is, I don't think Houston has much to offer. And that's scaring off the Knicks. The Knicks aren't going to make a trade just because they want to make a trade. The Knicks know they're not going to be very good.
Does the fact that Leslie Alexander is selling the Rockets make the Knicks even more leery?
I think it might keep Houston from making a bigger deal where maybe instead of just offering Ryan Anderson, maybe they do Ryan Anderson and, let's say, Eric Gordon. You know, they don't want to give up too much either because they know that Carmelo Anthony is somebody that he's not – I wouldn't say he's a toxic asset, but he's not somebody that's going to command a whole bunch nowadays because, number one, he just has one, you know, he has this season that's guaranteed. Next season's a player option. He can go ahead and terminate his, you know, do an early termination option.
Right.
And then go into free agency next season. So I don't think Houston wants to give up too much whenever they may be able to just wait a little bit. And at the trade deadline, if New York wants to get something for him, you know, because New York can just wait.
Yeah, that deal is basically still on the table.
Yeah, it is.
They can just pull the trigger on it anytime exactly. they want to.
But New York can just kind of wait and just be like, look, we'll play out the season. And whenever you go ahead and do your early termination option or your early termination clause, we'll just take that money that you that we can save from you and just go do, you know, something else with
right,
it.
Right.
You know, if they have the money. I don't know. You know, I haven't looked at their salary. But, you know, Carmelo Anthony, he's very divisive. He's very polarizing. But I don't think he's going to Oklahoma City. So
I don't think he's coming to Oklahoma yeah. City. My question is, you said his second year on that contract is player option.
Yeah, next year.
Do you think he's going to terminate that? Because I don't think he's going to get $26 million on the open market.
That's very true. And I think next season's is about 28.
And so I don't see him. You know, he getting his money.
Yeah, but you got to remember that these guys, you know, especially this late in their career, they're probably willing to sacrifice a year of big money to maybe get a four-year contract that has sizable money.
Well, how old is Carmelo?
He's 32, I think. Well, 31, you know, 32.
They have that the 38 age. You can't sign a deal that's going to push you past the age of 38. A big time deal.
Yeah, I know.
So,
yeah. And they have they have after 38 contracts now, or something.
Right? Which is what happened with Nene couldn't sign the 3-year. $21 million deal that the Houston originally offered him because his third year of the deal would have pushed him over that 38, 39-year-old. Okay. So they had to come back, and then they ended up signing a 2-year deal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I think Melo is due for either Houston or Cleveland. I think Cleveland.
Yeah, but the thing about Cleveland and Houston, which are the two teams that he wants to play for, they just don't have assets to give
they
up.
They don't.
Other than, I mean, I guess.
Kyrie?
Kyrie now.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, because he's unhappy or he just wants to be the man in his – or he just wants to play for the Knicks, which is, you know, he's from New Jersey. He's from that area. That's his hometown team.
I mean, that could be the thing that the Knicks are waiting for. And the Knicks may be waiting for Cleveland to say, look, we have an unhappy player. Does Carmelo want to come over to here? If Carmelo says yes, I could definitely see, you know, New York and Cleveland hashing out a deal between Kyrie.
And I can see that working. And yeah. But again, my thing about that is not going to be a plug-and-play situation. To me, that's going to be like a Kevin Love situation where they figure it out the first year, and then maybe the second year they have the opportunity.
Yeah.
But then again, considering how Cleveland is still probably the perennial favorite in the East, it may just end up working on the fly.
It may just end up working. So, you know, Carmelo Anthony, I don't think, you know, here's the thing about Carmelo Anthony is that, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, he would make the team better as far as the Thunder. He would make the team much better, especially if you're just giving up Enes Kanter, Kyle Singler, and a young player. But the ramifications of that maybe down the line, you kind of start to see where maybe you don't want to bring somebody like that in here, where it's somebody that, you know, if you took a risk on Paul George, you're taking a, you know, three times the risk on Carmelo Anthony, because he sure as heck probably isn't going to stay here long term. At least with Paul George, you have that opportunity to go ahead and kind of wine and dine him, you know, have a year of, and he might stay because he's an LA kid, but he's from Palmdale. He's lived in a little big city, what I would like to call us, you know, call Palmdale and Oklahoma City. And so he has more of a background to maybe go ahead and stay here. Carmelo Anthony, once the season's done, he's on the first plane out.
Yeah,
he's going back to New York, going Miami, going to L.A., wherever he's going. He has a lot of deals in on the East Coast in New York. And you know, good for him. I'm not, you know, he's more of a big city guy.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely not. You know, definitely not thinking that Carmelo was for Oklahoma City at any time at all.
And if we do this deal, that definitely pushes us into the luxury tax
and
the repeat offender tax. And
yeah, we're already there.
That'll definitely push us.
That might hard cap us.
Yeah.
Basically, if you go, you know, a certain amount over the luxury tax, you get hard capped to where you can't make any deals other than, I believe, just shedding salary. You can't make any deals like bringing in players or anything like that. So that would definitely hard cap us if we do make that trade. But yeah, that's basically all I have on Melo. I don't think he's due for Oklahoma City, and I think it was just
what if.
What if? Yeah, very much what if. And that's kind of the NBA that we're in now. The NBA that we're in is not one where you're going to make big splashes signing players. It's going to be big splashes trading for players now, you know, for the next couple seasons because of the overexpenditure that occurred in 2016 and in 2016 offseason.
The money's tight. So you,
yeah, the money's tight.
If you really want to contend, you're going to have to be willing to convince. This is where GMs are going to earn their money.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be willing to convince other teams to play ball with him, for, you know, so to speak, in order to make these trades to acquire these big guys, because the money ain't there.
No, the money's not there. Like, everybody, you know.
New money's not there, I should say.
Yeah, the new money's not there. So, and what we're talking about is in 2016, the offseason of 2016 is when everybody got flushed with the new TV money. It was basically, you know, the salary cap went up about $20 million.
Free-for-all.
Yeah, it was a free-for-all. So everybody had money. That's the reason why, for that one season, Kevin Durant could go to Golden State. If Kevin Durant would have played one season more in Oklahoma City, Golden State would not have had the money enough to sign him this offseason.
And Oklahoma City would have been able to offer him a Supermax deal.
Exactly.
That would have been significantly larger
than anything
anybody else would have been able to offer him.
Yeah, exactly. So the summer of 2016 is going to have lingering ramifications for the next five seasons. And so that's the reason why you see restricted free agents such as Andre Robertson, such as you know, Victor Oladipo, Steven Adams. You saw the players within our circle. You saw two of them sign for pretty large contracts because the climate in the offseason was so iffy as far as available money, as far as who they would sign, you know, as far as, you know, the ability of a team to sign a player like that. So that's the reason, you know, the rumor was that Andre Robertson from the Thunder was offered 4 years, $48 million back in October 31st, which was the deadline to sign your restricted free agents.
Right.
He turned that down, wanting to see what the market had for him. When he went out in the market this offseason, he can go ahead and say that, you know, Oklahoma City is where he wanted to be all he wants. If somebody would have offered him a 4 year, $60 million contract.
Oh, he's taking that money.
He's taking that money. Exactly. That's you got to get yours, right? You know. So nobody was offering that type of money. So that's the reason why he signed the 3 year, $30 million. That's the reason why he signed for just 3 years. You know, he could have signed 4 years.
Right.
But he probably wants to go ahead and kind of build up his stock a little bit more within these next 3 years.
And test the market out again.
And then test the market out
when
in 3 years.
When there's availability of where more their team should have at least a little bit more money to play with.
Yeah,
you know, they won't be as hard capped as they are.
Exactly. Now. Yeah. So if you were I believe that was the draft, the 2013 draft. So if you were drafted, so 2012, the players that were drafted in 2012, they got their money. So we're talking about the Allen Crabs. We're talking about, you know, Evan Turner. You know, players like that. They got their money. The players from 2013. That's where you start to see the ramifications of 2016 offseason.
They're not going to get as much money.
No, they're not. You know, they haven't. You know, and the only players that necessarily got a lot of money, probably above market value, were Victor Oladipo, who signed on October 31st, and probably Steven Adams. I don't think in this market Steven Adams would have gotten 4 years, $100 million.
No, he's definitely an old-school big man, and it seems like the league, the big men have to be more versatile.
Oh, it's not even that. I mean, look at Nerlens Noel. I mean, I know you have the injury history.
Right. He's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's your prototypical center for this game.
Right. Lanky.
And, yeah, lanky, long, probably can switch out on the perimeter. Just a rim runner. And that guy's not getting a deal at all. He hasn't signed with Dallas yet. He's not getting the deal that he wants. He obviously wants a max. He's not getting that.
Yeah, he's not going to get that.
So his best bet probably is to either sign an offer that he's not happy with in Dallas, or take the qualifying offer and go one more year into this and see what happens, you know, next offseason.
Build at least two consecutive seasons of solid play without injury free.
And then go into next offseason as an unrestricted free agent and see what happens. You know, but that's the climate out there for these players now. So, you know, we were presented with the new uniforms. Basically, they presented the home whites and the road blues, right, which are now called the association.
And the icon.
And the icon. So mm-hmm. the association would be now the home whites, what used to be the home whites. Right. And the icon edition would be what used to be the road blues.
Yeah.
And so, was there much difference in them?
Judging off the photos that I seen, mm-hmm. it seems like the blues maybe a little bit darker.
Yeah, I noticed
like
that too.
Like a brighter blue. It says OKC on the waistline of the shorts now.
Uh-huh.
Outside of like the material moisture wicking, they're mm-hmm. supposed to be a little bit more form fitting to the sleeves. Are yeah. supposed to be more form fitting to allow more motion and more range of motion in the shoulder. And if the shorts are cut a little bit differently at the knee to allow more strength and flexibility and stuff like that. But outside of that, very minimal changes from what the Oklahoma City, the Adidas jerseys had.
Yeah, so you know they have released some other jerseys for some other teams, and they look a little bit different. So you have like the Indiana Pacers,
right? The Pacers,
you know, their jerseys look very different than the jerseys from last year. Mm-hmm. But Oklahoma City's pretty much remained the same, other than of course changing the Adidas sign to a Nike sign, and them being they look more sleeker. They look a lot better for an athlete.
Right.
Don't know how they'll fit on me. Don't know how they'll fit on you. But for an athlete, they look a lot better.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And another thing that kind of came out of that was that 8 teams are getting uniforms.
8 teams will get what's known as the classic jersey.
Uh-huh.
It was rumored that Oklahoma City was going to be one of those, but they have come out and said it's not.
No.
So any possibility of anybody wanting a Sonics throwback?
Not happening here. Yeah, I mean.
Not happening here.
You know, there's so much history and animosity between Seattle and Oklahoma City and how Oklahoma City got the team. That's not really a negative press type thing that the league wants whenever, you're talking about jerseys and things of that nature. But I also
think Oklahoma City wants to hang their own hat on their own accomplishments.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that's just a situation where once we do expand or once a team moves to Seattle, then I'm pretty sure they'll make a thing that says, look, you'll get your history back, and basically all the record books for the Thunder begin from 2008, 2009, and on.
Yeah.
And so that just makes sense. So no Sonics throwback. So sorry, guys, that wanted a Sonics throwback. Or I doubt they're even going to have a jersey that has like how the old Sonics jersey had the city line.
Across the top, yeah.
Yeah, I doubt we're going to have an Oklahoma City city line on there that kind of – harkens back to the Sonics jersey. So
That would be an interesting concept. And, yeah. Kind of like a nod to their history without necessarily.
That's true, yeah.
But I don't see that happening. Yeah,
I don't see that happening. All right, so there's an article that was released about a week and a half ago, from the Omaha Press, I think. And that's close to where Creighton is, the University of Creighton. And Creighton is where Doug McDermott went to. So I'm pretty sure he's just over there in Creighton. His dad coaches there. And I'm pretty sure he's there kind of working out during the summer, during the off season. And so one of the guys from Omaha, the Omaha Press, kind of went to him and had an interview with him. And it was a very good interview, very insightful. He was very honest. But within it, he talked a lot about being frustrated in his role. In that when he was in college, he used to be, a big-time scorer, and he could score in many different ways. And as he's gotten to the NBA, he's basically just been put in a corner and said, hey, we'll put you in a corner whenever if you get the ball and you're open, shoot it. But if not, pass it back to whatever player is directing the offense.
He says in the article, talking about his move since he's been traded in February, where he was averaging 19.5 minutes and 6.6 per points per game. He says, it's get frustrating. I'm not going to lie, but that's kind of what my role's been, especially that last year. It's the beneficial to the team. Spotting up and spacing the floor, he says, gives Russell Westbrook driving lanes. It gives Enner Kanter room to operate.
Yeah, so he's frustrated because I'm pretty sure he remembers back to his college days, and he remembers that, he was a guy that kind of played small ball four in that he was taller. He could probably cut to the basket. He probably dribble on guys that were a little bit bigger than him, go around them. or even, you know, threes that were smaller than him, he could probably take advantage of them in the post and things of that nature. But in the NBA is a different beast. You know, everybody in the NBA is good at what they do. You know, whenever you're in college, if you're the best player out there, you know, you are heads and shoulders above everybody else out there. You know, if you're an NBA player within the college game, you know who the NBA players are. You know who the guys are that are going to make it to the league. So, I mean, I kind of see what he's saying. So moving forward, what do you see his role being on the Thunder, on this team?
Moving forward, as frustrated as he gets, it's going to be the same thing. I think he's going to be a spot-up shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be a guy who's going to space the floor, give Russell Westbrook driving lanes, and get a heck of a lot of open shots to drain. And I think given the fact that he is a little bit bigger, I mean, smaller for a four size, but mm-hmm. bigger as far as that 3-4 stretch hybrid.
In this game,
I think that's going to open up some lanes for him.
Okay.
I think definitely if he can find himself in a situation where maybe he's doing some pick and pops or pick and rolls, that definitely opens up the lane for him to get to the basket, pull up jumpers, and you know, get to the basket. So I definitely think he's going to get a lot more more touches, especially with the spacing of the floor, but – you know, as frustrated as he gets, it's different when, you know, he's 3-time All-American, 2014 National Player of the Year. Well, guess what? The NBA has a lot of 3-time All-Americans and National Players of the Year. They're all, you know, it's different when you're playing in a league where there may be 1, 2, or 3 guys like that. And in the NBA, the bench is filled with 3-time All-Americans and National Players of the Year that might not be able to get on the court in their own team.
That's true. I mean, you look at Creighton. I don't even know what conference Creighton is in, but I'm pretty sure he was one of only 2 or 3 players from that conference that actually made it to the NBA during the time that he played. And we know, you know, in the NCAA, you play in conference, and you're usually playing about 20 to 24 games within your conference. So, you know, he probably played a whole bunch of games against guys that are not NBA material, not even D-League material probably, or G-League material probably. So he played. You know, he played in a conference that has
Creighton is the Big East. Is in the Big East conference. So he played some perennial guys like Butler
I don't think they were in the Big East whenever he was in school. I think they just recently made the move to the Big East. I could be wrong, but yeah. So I mean, if they played in the Big East, then definitely he played a couple. He faced a couple NBA prospects in that league. But I think Creighton was in a different league 4 or 5 years ago.
So what do you see Doug McDermott's role being this year, 2017-2018 season?
A lot like you said, I think I see him being basically what he described as his frustration. I see him being a spot-up shooter. You know, looking at this team, you know, your wings in the starting lineup are going to be Robertson and George. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you start to get into the bench. Okay? You have Abrines. You have McDermott. You have Grant.
You have Cantor.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have. But I mean, as far as his position, positionality. I mean, you have Huestis, you have Singler, which I mean, yeah, Singler, you're going to put him on the bench. Are you ever going to give Huestis a shot? I mean, are they ever going to see what they have? You know, in this guy that's making $1.5 million, maybe they have something. You know, maybe they have something where
is he going to get his moment to?
Is he? Yeah. So you have that position that's very stacked within the team. It could be a situation where, you know, come the trade deadline or whatever, that kind of works itself out. Maybe some players get moved. Maybe he gets moved to a team where maybe he has a little bit more opportunity.
Okay.
But I don't see his role changing that much. I think he is what he is within the NBA or within this NBA. He's not a great defender, and that's what keeps him off the floor a lot of times is his defense. I just see him basically playing the same role and maybe even playing a little bit less now that we have Paul George.
Yeah, so you think he plays – I was going to ask you, do you think if he makes buckets, does that give him more minutes?
Well, yeah. Well, here's the one thing I saw with him is in the playoffs, the moment didn't scare him. So he had a couple good game, real good games in the playoffs, and they kind of exhibited a you know, it's going to be different now because we have such better personnel compared to the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a little lineup where they had, I think they ran out him, Abrines, Westbrook, Robertson, and Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, they had Grant at the 5.
Yeah, they had Grant at the 5, and they had basically Robertson guarding Harden, but he basically played your 4 on offense. Or McDermott played the 4 because I think McDermott was guarding Ryan Anderson during that time.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. It worked out real good. I mean, McDermott got a couple open looks. Abrines got a couple open looks. So that's definitely something that may be that Billy Donovan may tinker with heading into the season. But I think his role is going to be basically the same. Okay, so kind of looking some other Thunder news. You know, it was once you get past the Carmelo Anthony thing, it was kind of a slow week for the Thunder. So the Thunder had an unofficial workout in L.A.
As most teams now have unofficial workouts or
yeah,
guys
but
working out together.
So it was organized by Russell Westbrook.
Okay,
and of course Cantor, you know, the guy that releases pictures because. Apparently, he's a photographer also, you know, taking picture of Rudy Gay's locker and, you know, things of that nature. But he put out a picture, and it was a little bit interesting in the picture of who was there. So you looked at it. You had Dakari Johnson. You had Steven Adams. You had Enes Kanter. Then you had, you know, you had Jeremy Grant, Russell, Kyle, Dre, McDermott, Hustis, and Patrick Patterson. So you had guys that you know are going to be on the team.
A mixture of your old guys with some of your new guys.
Kind of
a bonding moment.
What was kind of weird
okay.
was Daniel Hamilton was there. Daniel Hamilton was drafted in the 2016 draft, a second rounder. He played with the Blue last year in the G League. And he's somebody that the team kind of they really like, and he's developing. And kind of begs the question, why would he be –
why does he get an invite?
Why is he working out with them? So my thinking is that he might be one of the players that they kind of give the two-way contract to. Maybe not. I just thought it was very interesting that he was there with them.
I mean, it does say a ton that the fact that he's there, you know, at the workout, the unofficial workout.
Yeah, somebody had to call him.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was Russell Westbrook or whether it was somebody else, Dakari Johnson maybe, because they played, you know, together with the Blue last year, somebody had to call him. And so I find that very interesting that he's actually there with them. And also Samaj. Samaj was there in the picture. So he, you know, his contract is still in the air. The Thunder have until, I guess, training camp
right,
or the end of training camp to opt into his contract. But they're already at 15 guaranteed deals. You know, with the Terrence Ferguson signing, which we'll get into here in a little bit. So they're already at 15 deals. Of course, the offseason is still in play, so, you know, you can still make a trade here or there. But, you know, he was there. He was there along with Daniel Hamilton. So I just thought it was very interesting to see those two faces in there. So let me ask you this. Dakari Johnson, he looked very cozied up with the big man, with Steven Adams and his Cantor. Unofficial third stash, bro.
That's what I've seen some of the photos out there and some of the comments out there. You know, it's been what, 2 years with the Stash Brothers?
Yeah.
You know, it might be time to expand the roster.
Might be time.
Or, you know, have a Stash Bro in training.
I thought we were gonna include Joffrey LaVerne last year into the Stash Bros because he has a pretty good, you know, pretty good facial hair going on. But of course he was traded at midseason to Chicago. So, hey, Dakari.
They could be grooming the next Stash Bros.
Come on down to the Stash Bros, man.
We'll have to see. We'll have to keep an eye on that and see how it plays out in social media,
yeah.
And in Twitter and in Facebook for the rest of the season.
So, of course, they were eating in L.A. And you know who hangs out of L.A. restaurants?
Who's that?
Paparazzos.
Oh, do they?
Paparazzi. So there's a TMZ video that kind of, as the players are walking out of the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
You know, you had people asking different players questions, and just I mean, I'm not a TMZ guy. I'm not a guy that, but just some of the funny highlights from that one and a half minute video is that, first of all, Josh Hustis, Kyle Singler,
I saw that they were coming out together. They
still hang out. They're still homies. They're still buddies.
Right.
You know, they had a thing last year where they were training together, and the Thunder had like cameras there, and you know, it was just them talking while they were shooting.
Yeah.
So apparently they're very close.
You know what surprised me about that video?
What's that?
That the paparazzo, he actually knew, you know, about Brahms in this area and asked.
Yeah, he did.
He asked, you know, do you like this restaurant
or Brahms?
And Kyle Singler
gave him like this weird,
like
Waffle House or something like that.
There must be
Waffle
some
King.
There must be some restaurant in this area here that has great ice cream. But
I say weird, but the answer was so Kyle Singler. I mean, the guy. I remember last year at Media Day, man, the guy was just on and on about float tanking, and like half the guys in the room, half the media members in the room were like, the heck is he talking about, man?
Well, you know, after that, it did take off. Several other people.
It did, yeah.
Several other people have mentioned that they do that and stuff like that.
And you saw there's a commercial now with Steph Curry where he's float tanking, basically.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So, I don't know. I guess, hey, good job, you know, Kyle Singler on promoting float tanking.
Shout out to Brahms, I guess.
Shout out to Brahms, too, yeah. But the funny part of the video was at the end when they asked, you know, they asked the main players. So, Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams, Enid Kanter, you know, Andre Robertson, they all walked out together. And so, they asked them about who left the tip or who paid for the meal, and then they all started ragging on Andre Robertson.
So, they asked Russell Westbrook about the uniforms, and he just kept walking.
Yeah.
And then, but they came out, they asked, you know, who paid for dinner, and Kyle Singler said he was like, I didn't pay. And then Enes Kanter, pointing the direction towards Andre Robertson, was like, ask him who paid for dinner.
Those guys are close. You can tell they're close. You can tell they like being with each other. So, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to look at the business of basketball and know that, you know, there's a possibility that by the time we get to the end of the season, some of those guys won't be on the team anymore.
Yeah, but it's good to see that there's genuine chemistry there. There's genuine, like, friendships there leading into the season.
Yeah, that's
because
very true.
I think the chemistry also builds. It starts off the court, and I think it translates to on the court success.
Yeah, that's true. All right, and also, I guess, a day after that or a couple days after that, Westbrook was out in Vegas training, working out with LeBron, working out with Chris Paul, James Harden, you know, Eric Bledsoe. And so my question to you is, so he hasn't signed his deal yet. Are you a little bit worried that maybe LeBron is getting into his ear and maybe talking about maybe joining forces in L.A. or something like that?
I'm not worried about that at all. Because Russell Westbrook, to me, I don't know him personally, but from everything that I can see, he's not that type of dude that's going to be easily influenced by the idea of a super team.
He's his own man.
Yeah, he's not. So to me, him hanging out with LeBron, kicking it and working out, to me, I think it's just business. You know, generally, these guys probably know each other off the court, and they may be okay with each other, and I think it's nothing more than that.
Yeah,
I don't see Russell Westbrook being tempted by a potential super team in XYZ place or location. I just doesn't seem like he's all about focusing on what is in front of him at that particular time.
Yeah. And I mean, conversely, it could be a situation where Russell Westbrook's talking to him and saying, hey, you know, we got this situation going on in Oklahoma City where we're kind of building, you know, we have the foundation of a super team.
Yeah.
If you want to waive your no trade clause
in
Cleveland,
we're
a piece away, and we can definitely compete with Golden State, and not just compete with them, but we won't meet them in the finals. We can meet them in the Western Conference Finals and then wipe out whatever, you know, Boston or, you know, whoever comes out of the East.
Get rid of them, yeah.
So,
well, they could have been talking about Russell Westbrook will be facing James Harden and Chris Paul in the Drew League tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, yeah.
So they could have been talking junk about the Drew League game.
That's true, yeah. So I think James Harden, I don't know if Chris Paul is going to be joining him, but he's going to be playing with L.A. United or L.A. somebody, you know, something, or L.A. Unified.
Yeah.
L.A. Unified. And then Westbrook is going to be playing with home team or somebody like that. I don't know. But, yeah, they're going to be meeting in the Drew League tomorrow. I'm pretty sure you're going to see some highlights. I'm pretty sure you're going to see some dunks. And, you know, everybody's going to be laughing. It's going to be a great time. So it's not going to be televised. I think that you probably see highlights somewhere after the game on Twitter or something like that, or as it's happening on Twitter. But it's probably not going to be televised at all. So Terrence Ferguson. So it came out on Thursday, I think it was, that Terrence Ferguson had finally received clearance from FIBA. And what's funny is whenever they released the information, he had actually received clearance on the 14th of July. Which kind of begs the question, why didn't he sign? Why hasn't he signed since then? So I went to my computer and wrote a piece real quick and put it out there. And then, of course, 2 hours later,
he signs his deal.
So my piece that I put out there, you know, asking about why, you know, why this guy had received clearance 2 weeks ago and still hasn't signed, and I put all the options and all the different theories out there. 2 hours later, my article no longer has wings at all.
It became null and void.
Yeah, the article became null and void. But such is the life of somebody that writes, you know, articles about basketball players. So Terrence Ferguson is on a team. Just a little shout out. So to within the next couple of days, I'm going to be having an interview with Will Crouch, who happens to be a reporter for News 9 over in Adelaide, Australia. And we're going to be talking about Terrence Ferguson, talking about what he saw while he was over there, because there's not a lot of information. You know, you don't have full games to watch. You can just you go on YouTube and you can watch highlights. And, of course, highlights, they make a player look great. But whenever you dig down deep into it, you don't see the weaknesses. You don't see the low lights.
Right. It doesn't give you the whole story.
Yeah, it doesn't give you the whole story. So, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and ask him a couple questions about maybe the whole story of Terrence Ferguson, what we can expect, what are his strengths, what are his weaknesses. So it should be a pretty good interview, so make sure you check that out here coming up. But other than that, I mean, we finally signed him. We're at 15 players, 15 guaranteed contracts. So I have a Twitter question. Pull it up real quick. So the Twitter question came from, of course, you know, my computer doesn't want to work. So it came from
Cheshire.
That one too, yeah. Cheshire Cat. It's at Black Dolphin 5. She has he or she has a picture of Arya Stark, which is awesome to me. You know, she's one of my favorite characters on Game of Thrones. I know you don't watch it, but
I don't.
But I do. I can nerd out on some Game of Thrones. Don't worry about that. But Cece asked me, do you think Presti does another move before camp? So let's kind of focus on that. Do you think he does another move before camp?
Is there another move to be made?
Yeah. There's a guy that wears his hair weird and float tanks on our team that doesn't do crap.
Well, but I mean, is there a realistic deal to be made?
Probably not. I mean, yeah. you're not going to make a big deal unless you're getting back a big player. And so who could that be? I don't know. I mean, the move that I think is going to be made, I don't think it's going to be made before the season starts, but the move that I think is going to be made is if they start to see that the season is kind of going south with all the, you know, chemistry issues maybe, or maybe just the fact that LeBron's not going to be there next year. So I don't know how hard he's going to play. I don't know how hard the players around him are going to play. I know LeBron's going to play hard. He always plays hard.
Right.
I don't know how hard the players are going to be playing around him, knowing that, number one, if he's, you know, if they're not playing hard and their other teammates aren't playing hard, how are they going to beat Golden State anyway? So it might be just inevitable to them in their minds to kind of coast the season.
They may just mail it in.
They may mail it in, exactly. So mid-season at the trade deadline, I think there's a possibility, maybe a Kevin Love thing going on.
Kevin Love being available?
Yes.
He has been involved in a lot of trade talks over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and when you talk about, you know, you talk about players and relationships and things of that nature – Russell Westbrook and Kevin Love have a relationship that goes all the way back to
UCLA.
I think UCLA, but not just UCLA. I think before that, because they both lived in California.
Yeah,
they both lived in Southern California. So I think they have a relationship that goes back, you know, goes way back. And so maybe that's a situation where, you know, somehow, some way, Kevin Love ends up on the Thunder without having to give up too much.
Money-wise, you might be able to pull it off with an Enes Kanter for Kevin Love straight up.
I think you're gonna have to
17 range.
I think Kevin Love makes 21. I could be wrong, but you're gonna have to include something else, because Cleveland's not gonna move on that just for Enes Kanter. And I love Enes. He's a good player. He faces a lot of the issues that Kevin Love faces. So he's making $21 million. Kanter makes about $18 million. So the money would work straight up. But Cleveland would probably ask for something else.
Yes.
So that something else could be as simple as Jeremy Grant. It could be as simple as, again, Doug McDermott, as far as...
Well, if they're willing to get rid of Kevin Love, I think they're under the assumption that LeBron is gone,
yeah,
that this season's a loss. So they're going to want to get young talent because they really are lacking in that department.
So that's a move that I could see happening, but it won't happen in the offseason.
It's
a trade deadline move. So I could definitely see something like that happening. And then her next question was, of course, what's on everybody's mind in Oklahoma City. Do you think Westbrook signs the extension, or do you think he plays this year out? I think he's going to sign the extension. I think we're coming up on a lull in the season a little bit. As far as the offseason goes, I think he'll have a little bit of more time to go to Oklahoma City, get his affairs in order there. And so, you know, we're heading into August 4th, which is the unofficial, official Russell Westbrook Day in Oklahoma City. And so I think sometime around that time frame, he'll go ahead and sign the contract. If we get past August 5th or August 4th, I would start to get a little bit worried. As far as whether he's going to sign it this year,
whether he's going to sign or not, I don't. I mean, as of right now, on my peak-o-meter of Russell Westbrook concern, it's very low right now as far as him not signing his contract. Because, like I said in previous podcasts, I think he is weighing his one. You know, I agree with you. I don't think he's had a whole lot of time this offseason, but I also think that he's kind of willing to look at some of it and maybe potentially take a little less. Yeah. In order to sign another piece or be able to, you know, let's say, sign get Paul George to buy in and sign for a longer deal.
And we had a couple other questions from a at Mr. underscore Westgetball, and then, of course, another one from Black Dolphin 5 that were asking me questions right as Terrence Ferguson had gained clearance from FIBA. But those questions are kind of null and void at this moment because 2 hours later, of course, like I said, he signed his contract. So since he signed his contract, a lot of these two questions were basically revolved around trading Ferguson for maybe a bigger player, like, you know, having it involved in the Carmelo Anthony deal or anything like that. But now that he signed his contract, he cannot be traded for 30 days. So, you know, as far as Ferguson, he will not be able to be traded until, I believe, what was it? So that was the 27th, so probably around the 26th of September. So nothing can be moved on him until that time. So kind of moving on to the rest of the NBA. You know, like I said, it was a slow week in terms of actual things happening with the Thunder, but, you know, it's pretty jam-packed week as far as Carmelo Anthony rumors and things like that. So I kind of want to look at the Western Conference.
The Carmelo Anthony rumors kind of sparked –
yeah, so it kind of sparked
an idea in my head the other day, which I brought up towards you to you.
Uh-huh.
And so we know that Gordon Hayward, who was on the West, and he was, and it was in regards to the All-Star team.
Okay,
right. So we know that there's 12 spots available, with the 13th spot being selected by the team, by the coaches and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So we know that Gordon Hayward, who was a West reserve, went to the East.
Okay,
so that's one spot available, but we also know that two Eastern. Both starters, I believe, are now on the West.
Yeah.
So that begs the question: who gets snubbed this year for the Western Conference team?
Yeah, the Western Conference All-Star team is going to be
Western Conference All-Star team crazy. As it was composed last year. Is the starters were Anthony Davis, Kevin Love, Kawhi Leonard,
Kevin Durant.
I'm sorry. Yes, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, James Harden, and then your reserves consisted of DeMarcus Cousins, Marc Gasol, Draymond Green, Gordon Hayward, DeAndre Jordan, Klay Thompson, Russell Westbrook. So we know we have one spot available
because
Gordon Hayward is gone.
Yeah. So looking at that team, I think the starters are still going to be in play. You know, Davis, Durant, Leonard, Curry, and Harden.
I think, you know, maybe Russell Westbrook breaks.
Maybe he goes into James Harden's spot.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So the guards can be switched around. But for the most part, assuming Anthony Davis doesn't have any major injuries this year,
yeah,
the starters look like they're going to stay in place.
So I would say this. So I would say Marc Gasol probably will probably be, you know, snubbed. DeAndre Jordan. I think the center position is probably going to be snubbed big time. DeAndre Jordan, I think, definitely, because a lot of his game was predicated on Chris Paul. And with Chris Paul not being in L.A. anymore, I think DeAndre Jordan's game is going to suffer a little bit. So I could definitely see him being left off next year's team. And then Klay Thompson. I think Klay, really? Yeah, I do. I think Klay Thompson, I think his numbers start to go down a little bit. And I think...
You think Durant sucks up a few more of those points?
I just think Durant asserts himself a little bit more now. I think last year was a
getting to know you period.
Yeah, kind of like he didn't want to step on anybody's toes. But now that they've won the championship, now that he has his contract, now that Steph has his contract, I think this might be the year where you know, those two alphas start to kind of
take over.
Take over. Yeah, with Draymond being the facilitator between them. So I think the person that's going to suffer a little bit is going to be Klay Thompson. His numbers are going to suffer, I think. And with that, so is his, not necessarily popularity, but his ability to kind of be included in the four Golden State players.
He's going
to
be the third wheel.
Yeah, fourth wheel.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, third wheel in regards to, we look at Draymond Green as the centerpiece, spinning everything around. He's going to, Klay Thompson going to be the third wheel that just is not going to get those shots.
Well, I think you're going to look at Klay Thompson, you're going to see him as a one-trick pony. That's the thing about Klay. He's a good defender, don't get me wrong. But he's a shooter, and that's it. He's not a good ball handler. He's not a great ball handler. You know, he's not going to beat you off the dribble too much. He's not, as far as athletic, he's not very athletic. He's not going to go up for dunks or anything like that. So as far as, you know, as far as being known and being seen, you look at Durant, you look at Curry, you look at Draymond Green, they're all-around talents. You know, they're great talents all around. So, you know, Steph Curry's a great shooter, probably the best shooter in the game. He's a great creator, great ball handler, so on and so forth. So I think being a one-trick pony, basically, just being able to shoot real well, even though it works in this game, I think that's going to go ahead and start to kind of affect his, what I would call Q score, as far as being on all-star teams and things like that. So looking at it, that's about through it. Three spots right there.
Three spots, yeah.
That I said would
we're
be left off.
Two centers and
and Thompson.
And Thompson. So
I would say
all backcourt guys.
So Paul George. Well, no, that's not all
or
back.
I'm sorry, front court guys.
Two front courts and one backcourt. So I would say Paul George would probably take Klay Thompson's spot. And that's the thing. That's the problem right there, is because you're going to have Jimmy Butler and you're going to have I think Karl Anthony Towns takes one of the front court spots.
Yeah, let's not forget Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. Because I mean, you got
does Boogie Cousin?
I mean, Chris Paul wasn't on this team. He was hurt during this time, so he wasn't on the team. So Chris Paul wasn't on the team. You know, so that's a player that could be that could go in there. You got Chris Paul. You got Paul George. You got Jimmy Butler. You got. You know, just looking around.
Oh, Blake Griffin wasn't on this team.
Blake Griffin, he was hurt too. So he wasn't on the team. You know, it's just Dame Lillard. I mean, he's always a threat. He hasn't made an all-star team yet, but he's always a threat.
He's always the snub.
Yeah, he's always a snub. He's the perennial snub. But the West is loaded, man. It's just,
CJ McCollum, if he has another outstanding year, could potentially. But again, that's kind of one of those guys that are like, you know, snub-ish. Mm. You know, they have really good seasons, but considering how the West is loaded, it's just impossible.
I would propose, and I've always proposed this, not just this year because the West is so loaded, but I've always proposed just having 15 players. You know, I mean, an NBA roster is 15 players. Why not just have 15 players selected for the All-Star game? I mean, I know numbers are going to go down as far as minutes goes, and you may have somebody that doesn't play that much, but why not? I mean, Russell Westbrook, why not?
Well, somebody proposed this idea to me. Let me run this by you. Why not just eliminate East and West and just take the top 24 players? And then you can, have two captains and then pick it that way you know.
Because I think it gets too gimmicky then. I just, you know, you kind of start going into like hockey does, like.
The 3-on-3 and the.
Well, no, doesn't hockey do like the world versus USA?
They did that once, and then I think last year they did. Either 3-on-3.
You kind of start to get into the what used to be the rookie sophomore game, because now it's world versus U.S.
Yeah, U.S. versus world.
And so you have, you know, I think only first year players and second year players can be selected, and so it has to be world versus U.S. So you have to select guys that are international, whether they're good or not. Let's say we have, you know, let's say we have just 12 good international players. You're gonna have to select all 12 of those guys, and you know, it's just it gets kind of gimmicky in my opinion. So those. I don't even have snubs, man. I can't even think about that right now because it's just it's
obviously we're all assuming that the exact same play that they had last year.
Yeah.
Their talent transfers over to
I know that. I know, but the whole front court back court thing just bothers me sometimes too.
You want it to go back to positions?
No, not necessarily. No, I wouldn't say that, but the whole like so if I'm looking at this and I'm going to eliminate Marc Gasol and who's my other guy? DeAndre Jordan from the team. So Karl Anthony Towns, definitely. I think he's ready to take that next step. I think he's definitely going to be on all-star teams from here for about another 10 years. You know, he's that good. but I'm going to have to pick another front court player, maybe Blake Griffin, maybe. But what about Jimmy Butler? What about Paul George? What about, you know, it's the whole backcourt, front court thing. You know, the NBA nowadays, there's no positions. You can literally trot out, you can literally trot out a 6'8 center out there named Draymond Green.
And he can defend guys.
And he can defend guys that are 7 feet tall. And you're going to tell me that you need to do front court, back court? Nah, man, just go ahead and put the best 12 players from the conference in there, and we'll go ahead and sort it out whenever we play. You know what I'm saying?
It's not like much defense is being played in the All-Star games
anyways. No, it's not. So, I kind of want to get into something. I've kind of noticed that ever since he's won the championship, that Kevin Durant has kind of gotten a little bit emboldened on Twitter. So he's kind of responding back to all his haters on there and, you know, doing all this. So I just got a question. Do you even care about Kevin Durant anymore?
Am I worried? No, I don't per se. It doesn't pop up on my mind about Kevin Durant or whatever. You know,
yeah.
I'm glad that, you know, okay, it's nice that he won his championship and, you know, he got his finals MVP and he's touring the world as part of NBA basketball and taking it across the world. And that's all well and good. But, I mean, Kevin Durant really doesn't pop in my mind as far as, like, concerns like what is he going to do, what is he not going to do. It is what it is at this point.
I honestly look at this like a broken relationship in that whenever you first break up, you know, you look at that person, you're like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
You know, you're Facebook stalking them. You're like, you know, what are they doing today? Well, you know, what are they looking at today? Well, you know, who are they with today? And so for a little bit of the season, I was kind of like that. I was like, man, what is this guy doing? You know, this sucks. You know, it sucks that he's having such a good season on somebody else's team. And anytime they lost, I was like, yeah, in your face, you lost. You suck.
Yeah, and then he comes back out the next night and goes for 40.
Yeah, and then that happens. And so the first half of the season, honestly, I did not enjoy Russell Westbrook to the max because I was too busy.
In the back of your mind, you were like, well, what's KD doing?
I was looking at my ex, instead of looking at what I had in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first half of the season, I did not enjoy Russell Westbrook as much as I should have. But then as the season progressed and I saw what Russell Westbrook was doing, I kind of said in my head, you know what? Kevin Durant's probably going to win the title. Good for him. Whatever. I have this guy right here that is putting up triple-double numbers, doing historical things. And so eventually when, you know, he won the title and I was like, whatever, he won the title. Yay for him. And I've gotten to the point now where like just anything that he does doesn't really bother me. It's just like whatever. And I hope the rest of Thunder Nation is kind of like this where just the guy is – Kevin Durant's a little bit weird. You know, like the guy that we knew, he's just a little bit weird. He's just a little, he's strange. I think
he's definitely a lot different.
Yeah,
You know, he's different than the average NBA player and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, good for him. He likes to enjoy different things. And you know, I guess he has a chip off his shoulder now that he has an MVP now that he has a title.
Yeah, already. I mean, I guess he has,
and so he feels like he can do a little bit more.
The burden is off.
Yeah, and that's good for him. If that's what he feels like. I took a little different path. I was kind of more focused on just blinders on and like, hey, let's see what Russell Westbrook can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they weren't playing, it was like, well, you know, what's going on over there?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, what's he doing over there?
That's true. All right, so kind of moving on to the NBA. Nothing much really happened. JaVale McGee re-signed with Golden State. Aaron Aflalo signed with Orlando. Derrick Rose to Cleveland. Nothing that's going to move the meter anywhere in the NBA. And they all got signed basically for vet minimums.
Yeah, but like I was looking up that JaVale McGee, nothing moves the needle. But when you look at that deal, like they are so far over the luxury tax.
Oh, yeah.
That JaVale McGee deal, if he signed for the regular minimum, which is 2.1, it will cost Golden State almost $5.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's – you know what? Honestly, that's a lot of teams in the NBA. Like, for instance, the Thunder, they have a player who's not even playing on the team making $2.4 million, and he's going to cost them about $5 million because we're into luxury tax.
Because of the luxury tax.
Yeah, Ronnie Price that we cut last year. So, I mean, that's the season that we're – you know, that's the game that we're doing. We want to go ahead and thank you guys for listening to us. Again, you can reach us – on Twitter. My handle is AlexRoig_NTTB. Anthony's handle is going to be Montero_A13.
Yeah,
Montero_A13. You can always hit us up. You know, you can look at the website. Now that's thunderbasketball.com. Make sure you check out the Crossover Radio app. It's a very good app. And then also make sure you check us out. You know, subscribe to us on iTunes. You know, we're under the NTTB podcast. We already have 3 episodes up there. This is the 4th one. Go ahead and give it a listen. Give us a 5-star review. And communicate with us on Twitter. But other than that, we will talk to you next week. And hopefully we'll see if maybe Russell Westbrook is signed by then.
Let's see if the Russell Westbrook sign clock is still ticking. Yeah.
But until then, we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
See you.